Yes, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this gift, Lord, that is to the body, Father. Lord, now I ask that tonight, as Clarence shared, Lord, that hearts would be open, our hearts would be quiet, our ears would be closed to the noises from outside, but that we would only hear your whispers, Lord, and your voice. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight, and we just want to glorify you, Lord. May it be your words, Lord. Amen.
I think that word that Jeanette just brought is just so spot on. You're not the sum total of what society say you are. You're not the sum total of what that person in the mirror say you are. You are who God says you are. You're more than a conqueror. You are redeemed. You are set free. You are highly favored. That's who you are. I wish I could carry on that trend. So tonight, it's actually more difficult to do the kind of sermon I have to do tonight than what I normally do, because it's more of a practical word. We pay a lot of attention to help our preachers present the word well. And there are lots of theological colleges and cemeteries where people go and study the word, and then they want to do better at preaching. And we pay a lot of attention to that, but I just really feel that we don't pay enough attention to help people understand how do you listen to a sermon and how do you respond to a sermon. I think many of us have a preconceived idea or something we've picked up along the way. We saw other people responding, or if we grew up in a church where people say amen to everything, then you go amen because that's the thing to do. I heard a guy say, if you're not born again, you go to hell. People said, amen. The point is, people don't often listen to what's being said. And they say amen, or they say hallelujah, or say glory to God, based on the tone of the voice of the preacher. Or they might say amen if the preacher says amen in a way of a question. Amen? And they go, amen. They've never thought of it before that, but right now they will say it because he's asking for them to say amen. And so it's important that if I look at the amount of time that guys put in to prepare a sermon, if we look at the amount of time that people will spend during the week preparing their hearts to deliver something to the congregation, to God's people, then I think it's important that we understand how do we receive that and how do we respond to what was said. So, we're going to go to Romans, the book of Romans, beautiful book of Romans, chapter 10. And I said from verse 14, but do you have from verse 13 there? Good. Okay. So, I'm just going to give you a running commentary as I go along because we won't be able to. I'm going through a lot of scriptures tonight because I want scripture to speak to you. This can't be my idea. It needs to be scripture, because I believe that as the word of God's going to enter your heart today, something is going to change. And if it doesn't, then I would like you to come to the front later so we can pray for you, because then it's much needed. Okay, so verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And if you want a summary of what our purpose is as believers, then that scripture there is the summary. It's all about getting people to call on the name of the Lord. When we gather like this, when we gather and we sit under the word of God, if we worship, whatever meeting we have, the aim of that meeting is to advance the kingdom of God. The aim of that meeting is to get, at the end of that meeting, to get people to say, what do I need to do to be saved? So what that means is that this meeting has not been arranged for me or for what I want out of it. I come to a meeting like this, bringing something, contributing so that other people can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I've heard people in some of our meetings leave and say that tonight the word didn't really connect with them, or the worship, they couldn't connect in worship time. Could it be? Could it be that the problem wasn't with the worship or the word? It might just be that the problem is somewhere else. And I want to ask you to consider coming to meetings such as this with something that you're bringing to God. I think of the wise men that came to Jesus when he was already slightly grown and not in the cradle anymore. They came and they visited Mary in the house. And they brought gifts. They brought expensive gifts. Because they understood that they're bringing something to the king. But here's the point. The moment they had active interaction with Jesus, the moment they laid the gifts at his feet, they were changed. And in this way, they were changed. Herod spoke to them and said, if you find him, come back this way and tell me where he is. Here's the thing. Once you've met Jesus, you can't go back to Herod again. Once you've had a taste really of who Jesus is, you cannot go back to Herod. And Herod speaks of the world. So if you then come and you connect with this King of Kings and you bring gifts to him, that's going to help you fight the fight out there, because you will not go back to Herod again. So when you come to a meeting such as this, please come with a heart prayed up, ready. Don't fit the meeting into your lifestyle. It's the Lord's day, not the Lord's 2 hours. We tend to fit the meeting into whatever else we want to do during this day. It's a matter of our convenience. But I promise you, if we become a people that makes sitting under the word of God or worshiping, if we make that priority, our personal lives will change. Jacques spoke about tithing, about giving. And it is about giving unto the Lord some of our finances, but it's also giving our time. And giving it without begrudging it. Okay, so that's the first verse. Let's carry on. Okay, now here's the thing. If we want people to get saved, if we want the kingdom advanced, this is how we have to go forward. It says here, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? What's happening right now, Paul is starting to deconstruct the question that is just asked. He's asked, for everyone who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's the statement. Now he's deconstructing that and say, how will people get saved? This way. They need to believe, but how will they believe if they've never heard? So in order to believe, they need to hear. What do they need to hear? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The problem is with the society around us has become allergic to preaching. Society has become allergic to the word of God because sometimes the word of God just cuts too deep. It's easy. I looked around in worship. 99% of the people here were engaged. And I'm hoping at this moment that the same 99% is engaged in listening to the word. Because sometimes we engaged in worship, but we dial out when the word starts. Because we become allergic to the truths. Because it's too challenging. And we don't want to change. So we'll just jump for joy. And that's good. We need to worship. But then we need to have a healthy diet of spirit and word. That's where true growth happens. A healthy diet. And I promise you, there are many people in this congregation tonight that you will listen to worship music in the week still. You'll maybe play a CD, or I see on the groups people download a good song and put it on the group, and the people will listen to that song. And far more people will listen to worship than will actually engage their Bible. We need a good, healthy balance of spirit and word. So now we're coming to where we actually want to be. It says, and this is specifically, ladies, this is for you as well. I wonder if I can ask for a show of hands for honesty. Who feels that they don't have beautiful feet? Anybody here that knows they don't have beautiful feet? Okay, here's your chance. The only thing you need to do, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. It says here, are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. You don't have to battle with bad feet anymore. All I'm asking for is that we give the Word of God the position in our lives that it deserves. I promise you, most of the battles people are facing, most of the problems you're dealing with, most of the wheels coming off. Sometimes when I get too many phone calls in the week, I say to Azalea, we should change the name of the ministry to Tiger Wheel and Tire, because the wheels are coming off. But I tell you, there are so many hassles, and most of them can be solved if you just read your Bible. If you just listen, Jacques preached an amazing sermon last week. I wasn't here, but I heard about it, and I went to listen to it. He preached a great sermon. But I asked him, how many people came back to you and said to you, my life was changed, I made actual active change in my mind, I've decided to do this differently because of the word? And he said to me, oh, he saw some people listening to it on the podcast and that. But with that kind of sermon that was preached, I would have expected 10, 15, 20 people to at least make a decision and say, I'm not doing it that way anymore. I'm changing my mind on that. But the problem is, we listen and we just listen for what we like. And we're very selective in what we're listening to. And if we really want to become a congregation that makes a difference in society, if God has prepared a man's heart to share a certain word, then we as God's people need to have the discipline to sit and receive what God is saying. You see, when Jacques speaks up here, he doesn't have authority because of his position in the church. The authority comes because he's preaching what the Word of God says. That's where the authority is. And you can't sit and listen to a message like that and say, Jacques is the leader, so yeah, that's good, and do nothing about it. It is God speaking through him. So it's God speaking to you, and therefore you need to respond to God. And God is demanding a response. And some of us will listen, and we will walk away unchanged. In Matthew, we're not going there, but in Matthew, just in the book of Matthew, three times Jesus himself says, let him who have ears hear. It's time that we become a people that intensely listen to the voice of God. We are not here to entertain. We are not here to wind up. We are here to align ourselves with the Word of God so that we can be effective in ministering to others. It's time that we value the preaching of the Word of God again. And it doesn't matter who's standing behind this pulpit. We should not switch on or off depending on who's standing here. If somebody opens the Bible and just reads the Word of God, it is God communicating to us. And we need to respond to that. The time of having favorite preachers or favorite guys, the way I like the way he preaches, it's gone. It's about what is God saying. We need to respond to the Word of God. And then we will see the breakthroughs that we are wanting. Some of us will sit in a meeting like this and leave, and we said, we haven't heard God speaking. Like it's God's fault. We serve a God that speaks. He's continually talking to us. As we stand here, as I'm standing here, there are pictures floating around this place. I promise you, there's gunshots going off. There's cars overturning. There's horrible stuff happening. But you can't see it because the television has not been switched on. If you switch on the TV, you'll pick up those wave, those stuff that's already here. It's being transmitted. But if you don't have the right receiver, you will not pick up what's being transmitted. So if you walk away and you think God is not speaking, then you need to get tuned in. Or maybe you just need to get tuned. If you come to the Word of God with premeditated arguments, you will leave unchanged with excuses. Can I say it again? If I can't remember it. If you come to the Word of God with premeditated arguments, you will leave unchanged and with excuses. It is not God's fault if you're not hearing Him. Actually, it's very hard not to hear Him. That's the reality. It's very difficult not to hear God. It speaks to me and where I'm at if I say I don't hear God. So I'm going to look at a few hindrances. Why are we battling to listen well to the Word of God? I'm going to run through this very quickly. There's a lot to say. One of Lee's favorite scriptures is that signs and wonders follows the preaching of the Word of God. Isn't that, Lee? Signs and wonders. But listen to what the scripture says. It says, signs and wonders follows the preaching of the Word. But modern day society just wants the signs and wonders. Scripture is very clear. It follows the preaching of the Word. So if you go on holiday and you hook your caravan onto your buggy, you can expect it to follow you. But if you then don't use that buggy, you get into a different car and you go on holiday, don't expect your caravan to be there when you stop. Because signs and wonders follows the preaching of the Word. And often we don't see the signs and wonders that God wants to do because we're not paying attention to the Word of God. We're not letting it soak in. We're not becoming saturated with the Word of God. But yet, we go for the signs and wonders. And the problem is, we've become a society that has a desire for the spectacular. I promise you, if we have a desire for the Word of God, signs and wonders will follow. You can't turn it around to suit yourself. You can't ignore the Word of God and expect the signs and wonders. Yes, God can do signs and wonders whenever He wants to. But why would the Bible say it in that order? Because we need to hear what God is saying to us. We have a desire for the spectacular, so we take a shortcut. We want to go to the spectacular. But God still needs, firstly, to work on us, to build character. Maybe you can't handle what God wants to show you. Maybe you can't handle the miracle that God's about to do in your life because you have got no roots. You've got no foundation in your life. And through the Word of God, you will get that foundation. And you're constantly pushing for the miracle. You're pushing for the miracle. What's that movie? Where the guy says, the truth? You can't handle the truth. A few good men. There we go. Maybe you can't handle the signs and wonders God wants to do in your life. because you're not paying attention to the Word of God. That's just maybe. I'm just suggesting that. The other hindrance, the second one, to seeing the supernatural happen, seeing signs and wonders, is the fact that we become superficial Christians. We know how to look like Christians. We can act that way. We can jump the same way as the others. We've become good imitators. But all of that, let me not say all. Some of that might flow out of familiarity of knowing how to do it. Some of it, some of us might not have the relationship with God that we should have, where that is a real response to the goodness of God, to the holiness of God. It's just a learned behavior. And we need to eradicate learned behaviors. Our God is so big, He's so awesome, He's worthy to be praised, He's worthy to be worshipped, but we cannot worship Him with learned behavior. It's a natural response that comes out of seeing God for who He is. And you see God for who He is by studying the Word of God. The third thing that is a hindrance that while people are battling to break through in church, while they're battling to move on, is we come to this kind of meeting with the entertainment mentality. We want to be entertained. And if we're not entertained, we don't come next week. If we're not entertained, we're not putting anything in the box today. This is not the Shell Ultra City on the N1, where you pull in, fill up, you pay, get your luxuries, and then you leave. No, this is not, that's not the way we do it. We do what we do because we're in a relationship with Jesus. Because our hearts are yearning for Him. It's not because we get entertained. And so many people, because they get entertained in other places, they walk into a meeting like this and they want to be entertained, and I'm sorry, I'm not apologizing, I'm just sorry for your part, that you're not going to get entertained here. We need to seek the face of God. Number four, the fourth hindrance to us seeing the supernatural, to us experiencing what God really wants to do, is self-centeredness. Acts 8, verse 18. You have that for me? And here we find Simon sees what the other apostles are doing. They're laying hands and stuff's happening. And he wants that power. Not because he wants to advance the kingdom, but because he wants to look good, because it's about him. And some of us, we want tongues, we want to pray for people and want them to fall over so that people might say, you're really good. I learned a song in Bushmanland. Many years ago, I used to plant churches up in the northern part of Namibia. Myself and my wife and the kids went up there. And I learned a song from the Bushmen. And I made a point of learning, singing it exactly like they sang it. They sang, not about me, all about you. And I was like my first Bushman song. And if you don't know what the Bushman language, it sounds like a broken CV joint. Cuck, 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 cuck. Right? And I learned the song until I found it's actually an English song that they're trying to sing. And it's not about me, Lord. It's all about you. Not about me, all about you. And that's still true today. It's not about me. It's not about me looking good. I don't want the gifts. This stuff. I mean, that was Marius's idea, but it fits in so well. You can't want this so you can look good. Whatever God gives us is to serve the church. It's to serve other people. If He gives you a gift of preaching, it's to serve. It's not to become the elite preacher. If He gives you a gift of healing, it's not for you. It's for others. It's to advance the kingdom of God. And we cannot sit when the word of God is preached and then just selectively take what we like. We need to take everything that God says to us. The next thing that's a hindrance is pride and better knowing. Because as you sit there, you might be going, I could preach this better than Gladys. And you could. You're sitting there thinking, you know what? He could have said this. And you know, he should have said this now. And he could have added that. I could have. But I would have been disobedient if I did. Because I can only preach what the Holy Spirit tells me to preach. I can prepare like I want to. I can prepare the topic that you would like to hear. But if the Holy Spirit in the moment doesn't urge me to say that thing, I don't say that thing. But we will sit and we will criticize somebody preaching. We look at the faults and we're better knowing. You know, they should have said this. And if that's what you're doing right now, you're actually not listening to the sermon. Wisdom puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. And that's the very thing that people battle with, Adam and Eve battled with in the Garden of Eden. It's knowledge. It's the desire for knowledge. So I'm asking, when we get to sit under the Word of God, let's get disciplined into listening to the Word of God. Let's get disciplined into hearing what is God actually saying, not for the person next to you. Well, what is God saying to you? That's a thing that, and please, ladies and gents, don't listen to a sermon so you can bump your partner and say, that's for you. Because if you're doing that, you're not listening. Trust the Holy Spirit. If He wants to deal with your partner, He will deal with your partner. Let God be God. Maybe you should say that to yourself. God is God and I'm not God. Because often we want people to hear what was said to them. And we're sitting with a judgmental spirit inside of us. Learn to listen to what God is saying. That automatically leads into one of our biggest hindrances or difficulties that we face in church in general is the self-appointed watchman on the wall. It feels that it's their job to crit and to check every sermon. I believe that God has appointed elders in church for a very specific reason, and one of that is to filter the word that's coming, to filter the prophetic word, to filter the preached word, and if they find something wrong with it, they will deal with it. And often we get entangled into, yeah, but my opinion about that scripture, I appreciate that you have an opinion. But you need to trust the Holy Spirit that He will not allow anything ungodly or wrong to be preached from this pulpit. And if somebody slips something in and it's by mistake, then we have the grace to forgive. But if it's on purpose, I want to reassure you, eldership will deal with it. I have the fullest of confidence in the team around me that if I say something wrong in front of you, we will have a conversation after this meeting. So I can ask you to relax, and you don't have to be the watchman on the wall anymore, because God actually wants to speak to you as well. And often you're sitting there and you're thinking this and that and that, and you're analyzing. Now, you can do the analyzing later when you get home. You can do it there. You're welcome to. And if you find something wrong, come and talk to us. But you're missing out on God speaking to you because you're trying to find the faults. You can't listen like that. Ask husbands and wives. If the husband is speaking and the wife is listening to hear what he's saying wrong so that she can answer back already, they get to bed very late that night. Trust the Holy Spirit. Another thing, if you're making points, it should be point number 8. But another thing that's disrupting the outworking of preached sermons is technology. Technology, we're living in a society where we can fast forward and skip whenever we want to. And because we're used to that at home, because we're used to that on the phone, when we sit here listening to sermon, we skip and do whatever we want, and then we dial in again when we like the topic. No. God wants your attention. As I said, it's the day of the Lord. So at least we can give him 30 minutes to pay attention to what he's saying. I promise you, we will not recognize this congregation if we as a congregation listen to the word of God and apply what God is saying to us. We skip and we fast forward and we think, I don't even have to be there this Sunday. I can download the message. Download is not bad. It's better than nothing. But there's something about the gathering. That's the principle that God has. Forsake not the gathering of the saints. There's something about when God's people gather and the word is preached. There's an anointing there. There's something that happens, and something happens in people's lives that doesn't always happen on the download. I've listened to messages where I've been present and I thought, whew, that was a good message. And you could feel the presence of God there. And then you want to listen to it again and you go, oh, it was okay. Because there's something about when God's people gather and he speaks to them. There's an anointing there. So just because we have got the facility to download doesn't mean we need to neglect the gathering of the saints. Trying to think where. I'm going to do this part quickly. I need to get to a certain part. We need in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Got that? All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be content, equipped, competent, equipped for every good work. We need a renewed awe of the Word of God. I knew. When my mother said to me, wait till your dad gets home. It didn't mean that I'll get sweets. It didn't mean that. It didn't mean that I'm going to play games. There's a weightiness to her voice when she mentioned all my names. She said, Clarence John Rue, wait till your dad gets home. There was a weightiness about that. I understood exactly what that meant. And I believe there's a weightiness. There's a weightiness to when God speaks that we have undermined sometimes because we don't really think that it's the word of God. It's spoken by God. And the word says that every word that goes forth from the mouth of God will not return void. But maybe because of me not listening, I could be the one that's preventing that word of returning. Or it could be returning void because I didn't listen. Now, I know there's a whole thing, don't go, but yeah, but God, don't go there now. Just think about this. God speaks his word, expecting it to reach your heart, and you go, not now, it's not convenient. So when you come to a meeting like this, prepare your heart. This is John 7, verse 17, because if anyone's will is to do the will of to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God. Have you come to this meeting determined that your will line up with the will of God? Or did you just come and kay sera sera? Whatever must be, must be. We need to come to God's house with an intent of aligning our will with his will. We need to be able to say, Lord, speak to me. When we sit down, when we get ready to listen to the word, Our attitude should be Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We sing that, help me, Margaret, thing about you are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, but don't touch me today. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me, but just don't touch me today. Because we've made everything about our convenience. Don't come, when you listen to the word of, don't come with your own doctrine. Come with what the word of God says. We have the tendency to make up our own doctrine. If you think about the prodigal son. I'm not going to go there now, but think about the prodigal son. He sat in the pigsty and he said, and I will say, I am not worthy to be your son. Make me a slave, like one of your slaves. That was the doctrine that he now told himself in the pigsty. But when he comes to the father is not concerned about his doctrine. He says, Father, I'm sin. Father hugs him and kisses him. Because it's not what you say. We had that earlier when you said that. It's not, I've sinned, so make me a slave. No, God says, you're a son. You're a daughter. And your doctrine must say, but you failed. Your doctrine must say, but I failed, so therefore I should be a slave. God's doctrine is the only one that stands true. He says, you're a son or a daughter. He says, you're loved. Let's not create our own doctrine. Because when we're in the pigsty, we're not thinking straight. We're not thinking straight. Allow God to speak to us. I'm going to go to the last section. How do we then respond? How do we come and listen to the word? How do we respond to the word? Firstly, Hebrews 3 verse 15. We respond today. That's how we respond. Not at our convenience. When God speaks, and when there's conviction, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't get up and walk out because it's not a convenient time. The Bible says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So there's a timeous action that needs to happen. When God speaks to you, we respond. Often we say, but I still want to do that. I will still want to do that. We're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Not guaranteed of tomorrow. And today, if you hear his voice. Can you put that scripture up in Acts 19 from 17 to 20? I'm just going to run through that. Is that 17? 18, yeah. Okay. Is there one way that we can get them all together or not? No, two sections. Okay. So, when we respond at the end of a meeting, so this is something different now. It's just, I feel that we need to also pay attention, not just to how do we hear the word, but how do we respond to it. Number one, today. Secondly, we have to respond because there's a fear of God. Not being scared, but a holy awe of who God is. It says here, and fear fell upon them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Fear. Fear of God. Not fear of man. Fear of God. And even if it means that you're going to look bad in the eyes of man, do what God is asking you to do. Because God took the time to speak to you personally. I mean, I can just imagine what would have happened to me. I would have been slightly, I would have looked slightly different, I think, if I dared not to respond if my dad spoke to me. I might have been just slightly different shape or different height. It's just right to respond to the Father.
Verse 18, and many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging. Here's my concern. Often when we do a call after a sermon, people come to the front and they're crying. I don't know what else they do, but they come to the front. And if you notice at the camp, on the Saturday evening, I did an altar call, and I asked people, just leave these people up front here for a moment. Because they need to respond to God. And I'm not saying we're not going to minister to them, but we need people. People come to the front over and over and over, and all I see is they're crying, and people start giving them word, and people start giving them prophetic word, and ministering to them, giving them pictures. And they leave, and something has changed, but they're back next week up here again. And maybe it's because we haven't given them time to repent of the sin in their lives. We haven't given them time to tell God what's wrong in their lives, what they want from Him. Every time that Jesus healed somebody, He said to them, He could see the blind man is blind. He could see, Bartimaeus, you're blind, but what would you like me to do for you? Bartimaeus had the opportunity to say, I want the lotto numbers. He can't see them. He had the right to say anything that he wanted to say. Jesus, what do you want? He said, that I might see. The guy at the pool, what do you want? I want to walk. We need to give people a chance to say to God why they're there. And yes, we love them, so we rush up and we want to minister to them. But maybe we should just give them a little bit of time so that they can do business with God. And here's the thing. I noticed that night when we called the people to the front, it was hard for them, the people that came to start prayer. I said, pray. Now pray, tell God what you want. And it was difficult to do that because that's not the way we normally do it. But I want us to get ready in our hearts and understand that when I come forward, when we ask for a response, you're not responding to me. You're not responding to Jacques. We're responding to God, and we need to tell Him what it is we're responding to. So just one thing I want to get across, and it's this. These people confessed their sin. So repentance is key. And repentance, I just want to massage this in. Repentance is not saying sorry. We're good at that, saying sorry. Repentance is not regret. Sometimes we regret doing something, but we have regret when we've hurt ourselves. When we've let ourselves down, we have regret. And so regret is not repentance. Repentance is not remorse. We have remorse when we've let somebody else down, when we hurt somebody else. But repentance is not remorse. Repentance is realizing that I've sinned before God. Not about me, not about the other person. When I realize I've sinned before God, then I come and I say, God, forgive me. I have sinned before you. And it's when I do that, when I repent of my sin, when I repent of my wrongdoing, God says, forgiven. And then breakthrough comes and I can move on. But if I come to the front every Sunday and people pray for me and they give me word and all that is good, but I never deal with the issue, that stronghold is not broken. And God wants to break that, but He breaks it when we repent of it. And when we repent, it's not just of the thing that I've been caught doing. We repent of a sinful thought, a sinful word, and a sinful deed. Often we repent of the deeds if somebody knows about it. But the word or the thought stays unrepentant. When we repent, when the Holy Spirit of God works with you and somebody's preaching the word and you get convicted, don't just think of what I've done wrong. Think, what did I think wrong? What did I say wrong? And what did I do wrong? And then you come and you repent of that. And that's where those chains are broken. Did we sing that song tonight? I see people with their hands above their head. Broken chains. There are so many people who are still chained. Some of them might have had the chains broken, but the shackles are still around their hands because we haven't repented of the issue that God is highlighting. But once we've repented, it says here the next part. It says, and a number of those, remember these are Christians now, eh? A number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. It's time to burn the books. Even the stuff that you forgot on here. You might get away with, I don't have books. Nowadays it's on here. And if you don't watch it, we're going to burn this one as well. It's time to burn the books. What does that mean? You can repent of something, but you have to renounce it as well. Often we just repent without renouncing, without cutting that tie and walking away. So we repent of doing something, but we do it again and again because you haven't renounced it. God is calling us to a place as a church where we have to burn the books. And you know what those books were worth? Around 12 million bucks. Lots of books, eh? I promise you, the amount of money that Christians spend on ungodly stuff could fund the next church plant. And yet when Jacques then gets up and talks about giving, you feel, how can he want more? But if you go, some people in this place are telling you, you're spending more money on the devil's things than on God's things. And you're saying, like what? Like data for the stuff that you want to watch. Yeah. And if that was Aina, we'll pray for you after this. Burn the books. How do we do that? Simply because we value the presence of God more than our fleshly desires. Do you desire the presence of God that much? Do you desire the presence of God more than your fleshly desires? If we get that right, what's that last part? So the word of the Lord continued and increased and prevailed mightily. This church can double in a few months if we take the handbrake off. And the handbrake is our fleshly desires. Our comfort zones. The way we listen to the word of God. So maybe in this moment, there's a few things that God has laid in your heart that you need to repent of. I'm going to give you the moment. You don't have to repent it to somebody. I'm not the Pope. So you don't have to repent it to somebody. But if you need, if there's something you need, if there's a book you need to burn, and if there is something you need to repent of, then I'm going to ask you in a moment to come to the front. But maybe there's somebody here tonight, and you don't even know why you're uncomfortable, but something inside of you is saying something is wrong. Something is wrong. I need something, and that something is you need to repent of the sin in your life and reach out to God to come and save you. He's done the work through Jesus Christ, His Son. He showed you His love by sending Jesus to the cross. Everything has been done for you. What you need to do is say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has raised Him from the dead. That's all that's needed from you. And when that's done, we'll lead you in a prayer of repentance. We repent of your sin. We'll lead you in an action of renouncing. We'll turn away from your sin and follow Jesus. That's you. I want to tell you, you may be sitting there and wondering if it's you because you know that you're not a Muslim. You're not a Hindu. And in your mind, maybe then you are a Christian. No. Just because you're born in a Christian country doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you were raised in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is not born. A Christian is born again. And maybe that clears it up for you. Maybe you were born and then accepted into a church and your name has been written on a register. That's good. But that won't get you into heaven. Having your name in a church register does not save you. It's having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life that saves you. Now, if you're not sure, if you're sitting here and you're not sure if you're saved, you're born again, why don't you make sure tonight? Why don't you just slip up your hand and say, please, will you pray for me? Because I'm not sure. Will you pray for me? And I'll tell you what I'll do. Once you put up your hand, I'm going to acknowledge it, and I'm going to call you to the front, and I will get one of our leaders to pray with you so that you have the assurance that Jesus is yours. So if that's you, I'm not going to prolong it, but if that's you, if you want to accept Jesus tonight as Lord and Savior, why don't you just put up your hand and let me acknowledge it, and then you can put it down again. Is there anybody here? Okay, so we'll move to the next. And if you still want to chat to us later, you're welcome to do that. But don't leave this building without talking to one of us. So, if somebody wants to burn the books tonight, and you know that I'm saying it's not real books, don't go home now and fetch the books. It's a thing that, it's a metaphor. If you want to burn the books that you've held onto in secret, then just come and stand here with me. If you want to repent of sin, I'm going to give you a chance to do it all by yourself. I'm not going to ask people to stand around you. It's you and God now. It's you and God. It's you and God. It's you and God. And as you're standing here, don't wait for somebody to come and stand with you. Start talking to God. Start talking to God as if Jesus is here and asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Start talking to God in that way. Tell Him what your shortcoming is. Tell Him what the sin is. Identify that sin and speak it out and say, Lord, I repent of this. I repent of that. And I'm asking those of you who know that you know that it's not you that God is talking to, I'm asking you to be praying right now that you will be kicking down the gates of hell right now. Because this is make or break for some people.